There are three Jameses, at least, mentioned, maybe just two, in the Scriptures. Which James this is, the author of this epistle, there's quite a bit of debate among the scholars. All that I'm going to take as a position is that James says in chapter 1 and verse 1, he's a servant of God. He is one of the apostles, who's the author here, but exactly which one it is, there were two primarily apostles who had the name James. You'll find that in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, and other places where the 12 apostles are named. In Acts chapter 1, you have the names of 11 of them. Judas, of course, had gone out and hung himself. But those two Jameses, one of them is James, the son of Zebedee, who was the brother to John. The other James is called James the Lesser, which simply means that he was younger than the older James. James the Greater, the older one, is beheaded, killed by Herod. You'll find record of that in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. The 15th chapter of Acts, you're reading about James. Well, in fact, we're in the 12th chapter. When Peter gets out of prison, he goes to the place where the house of the church is meeting, and he tells them he's out, and he tells the lady girl, Rhoda, go tell the brethren and James. He's talking about the younger James, who is one of the pillars of the church there at Jerusalem. So probably this James we have here is the younger James, who was the elder of the church, one of the elders of the church at Jerusalem. He is familiar with the writings of the Apostle Paul. So with that background, would you begin? I'll begin reading there at verse 14 of the second chapter of Acts. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say, have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, I have spent three Sundays talking to us about being justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And you'll note the order in which I've said that. We are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. We gave you scripture verses to support that statement. It is from the New Testament. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, and in verse 20 of that same chapter of Galatians, and also in the third chapter of Romans. Now, when I say by the faith of Jesus Christ, some people kind of draw up a little bit and raise their eyebrows and say, what do you mean by the faith of Jesus Christ? Well, it was that Jesus Christ obeyed, believed, trusted in the eternal counsel of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that moved him, guided him to come to earth. You'll read and hear the Lord say several times, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus Christ was not on his own expedition when he came to earth. He came to earth to do and accomplish the will of his heavenly Father. And it was in obedience to that will that he would say, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And so Jesus Christ believed God, trusted in the eternal Godhead, and that was the reason why he came to earth, did what he did, went to the cross of Calvary. Now, I think if I said to you, if Jesus Christ, our salvation is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, those who were familiar with the Scriptures would say, amen, amen. But when I say that our salvation is based upon the faith of Jesus Christ, there's some reservation. Now, the reason being is because we're not used maybe to always that terminology. But let me express to you and point out to you that if because he believed, trusted in the promise of the Father, that he did the work that he did, So I want to put the emphasis here that faith, genuine faith, is prompted by the proper works. And that's what James is talking here about. Now, there are those who would think that James is a conflict with the Apostle Paul. Not so. But let us continue reading here in James chapter 2 and verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warm and not filled, notwithstanding you give him not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James is going to put forth an application of saving faith in our lives. He's talking about saving faith. And that saving faith manifests itself in the way in which we live. There are a lot of people, James is going to tell us about some of them here in a minute, that believe about Jesus Christ. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. My mom and daddy was a Christian. All my ancestors were Christians. I'm a Christian. Well, the evidence is made manifested by our lives. That's what James is going to say to us. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. May I point out to you that that's much more than what many preachers in today's pulpits do, and that's much more than what many professors in our universities do, and that's much more than what some of the professors in some of our seminaries do. They deny the very entity of God. Who God is. But the devils know. Satan knows. He was kicked out of heaven. And the demons, who are fallen angels, I believe, kicked out of heaven. So they know very well that God is real. And that he is. The demons, the devils also believe. And they tremble. Remember when the Lord came to cast the demons out of the swine? They asked him the question, art thou come to judge us before the time? They knew that judgment was coming. They knew what the end was. So they were fearful of it. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? My friend, we need to be very mindful that faith without works is dead. As I've said, I made great emphasis and want to emphasize to us all that we are justified by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is not your faith that saves you. I have talked to people sometimes about their salvation, and they will say to me, well, I just don't think I have enough faith. And I will tell them, you don't have enough faith. None of us have enough faith to get saved. Our faith, if you ever have any saving faith, you ever have genuine faith, the faith whereby you trust in the Lord as your Savior, it comes to you by the working of the Holy Spirit. It is God-given. And that's what Paul says there in Ephesians 2:8-9. Not by works, but of faith. It is God's gift to us. Now, the 10th verse, many of us Baptists ignore and don't pay any attention to it. The 10th verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll say more in a few minutes about those good works. But Paul, or James here, continues with this. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now he begins to show us an illustration. Both Paul and James will use Abraham as illustrations. Paul will use Abraham as an illustration of God's imputed faith or imputed righteousness. And he will talk about Abraham's faith. James is going to talk about Abraham's faith as a manifestation that he was indeed a child of God. Go back to the 4th chapter of Romans, if you would, please. Before we continue here in James chapter 2, the fourth chapter of Romans, Paul will say to us, "What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Now, some people will ask the question, why do you make such a great deal of issue about grace? You know, yes, salvation is by grace, but most people today are a lot like the Judaizers that came up to following after the Apostle Paul and were sowing discord among the churches. And they said, yes, Paul's right when it comes to being saved by grace, but you've got to add works to it, because if you don't add works to it, then you're not going to heaven. You've got to add works to getting saved. Well, we deny that. There is nothing you can do to merit salvation. There's nothing to be added to it. I hear preachers from time to time saying, if you just do so-and-so, God will save you. My friend, Jesus Christ has done it all. There's nothing for us to do. And that's what salvation is all about. It's by being brought by the Holy Spirit of God to trust solely in Jesus Christ as one Savior. Other hope have we none. On Christ the solid rock alone we stand. That's our only hope of salvation. So Paul here will tell you, if he hath any works, if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. He might glory before man. And there are many people today who are basing their religion upon gaining man's approval. Well, they may gain man's approval. People may think highly about them. But the question is, do they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Paul goes on to say in verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted." And the word counted is the word to be reckoned or imputed. It's not his own faith, but rather it is reckoned because of his faith, or his faith is an evidence of him being declared righteous by God. God is the origin of all faith. Genuine faith, saving faith, comes to us from God. And it is because God has declared us to be righteous. We talked about that the word righteous and the word justification come from the very same Greek word. Being justified is God's act of declaring us to be righteous, based upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So Paul will tell you here that Abraham had nothing to boast about because he believed God, and that was in view of or reckoned to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God will not be indebted to anyone or obligated by anyone. But God does everything that he does for his people because of his free and sovereign grace. We know that Paul said in Romans the 3rd chapter that we're justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now back to James chapter 2, if you would please. Verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works?" It was a manifestation that he believed God, that Abraham left Ur Chaldees that God told him to do. Then it is also an evidence of Abraham's faith when he is willing to offer up his own son, only son, Isaac. That's what James here is talking about. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son up on the altar? Seest thou how that faith was wrought with his works? Seest how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made manifested or perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him, or reckoned to him, for righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out away? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I will tell you that our churches today and throughout the world, we have nothing more than a dead faith. We have our churches are full of people who have a faith based upon their own self-righteousness and what they are doing. Now, in the book of Titus, Paul talks about works. He will tell you 6 times in the book of Titus about good works. In verse chapter 1 of Titus, I'll read to you, Paul says in verse 6, if any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, go on, not verse 6, it is verse 16, I'm sorry. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. He will say in chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul says this, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, in uncorruptness, gravity, and in sincerity, and sound speech. In verse 14, he says this, that Christ gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous